Good to have each of you back this evening. And if you would, let's open our Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Book of Colossians chapter 3. We're teaching through the book of Colossians on Sunday evenings. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the book of Colossians. A lot of good passages in it. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at verses 22 through to verse 25. And what that'll do is that will finish out chapter 3. What I'm planning on doing once I'm done is I'm going to open up the question series again. Back here in the box, about half full of questions. Got a question on a book, a doctrine, something we do. Put it on a piece of paper and put it back in the foyer. There's a, well, it looks like an offering box, but you lift it up and it's full of paper. And those are questions. You got a question about it? Something I preached or something in the scriptures, you put it on there. I'd like for your name to be on it just so I can make sure you're here, but I don't tell who asked the question. So that's what we're going to be doing. Okay. Now, tonight we want to go ahead and look at this text, Colossians 3, 22 through verse 25. And what this covers with regard to us, what it covers is Christian workers. That's what I'm going to give it the title as, Christian workers. Now, back in the day when this was written like the book of Colossians, and like the book of Ephesians has something similar in the epistle to the Ephesians too about working. And he's addressing slaves. Back in the Roman Empire, there was more slaves than there was anything else. And a lot of slaves had become Christians, and they needed to be taught, you know, how to conduct themselves as slaves. Now, what we thinking? We're thinking, well, we're not slaves. Well, that is true in a sense, but we do work for somebody. We do work for somebody, and that's why this applies to us today. You can serve the Lord by working. You can serve the Lord by working. And always, when I was working a secular job, still working, pastoring's working. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's a labor, but it ain't manual labor like it was before. But nevertheless, it's work. It takes a lot of work to be a pastor. It takes a lot of work to study. It takes a lot of work to visit. It takes a lot of work to do what you got to do. The difference between what I do now and what I did then is I had a punch-out clock. Y'all got me? I had one that you could punch out. And when you punched out, guess what? You was done. You can go on. But for a pastor, you don't have a punch-out clock. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You take breaks when you can. You go places when you can. And you set a part-time where you can do things. But it requires labor. It requires work. Studying makes you tired. If you do a lot of studying, especially you that do Bible school every day this week, you'll find by Friday you get pretty wore out by the time Friday comes just from teaching and studying. So it's part of it. So what this is referring to in this text with regard to us, I realize we're not slaves in the sense that they were. But we need to be good Christian workers. And that's what this message is going to be entitled this evening, Good Christian Workers. I think a Christian worker can be a good testimony on a job. I think they can be a good testimony on a job. When I worked on, I worked several jobs. I worked at Hex and worked at M&W, and then we worked at the drum plant up at Nitro, the plastic drum plant in Nitro. And I always viewed my job as a field of work. I worked on my job physically, but at the same time, I also viewed it as a place where I would seek to witness to people. Now, I didn't witness while I was supposed to be working, because whenever you're working on a time clock, you get paid by the hour, and you're supposed to be, they pay you to work, so you work. I didn't want to steal time. If I'm paid to work and I'm stealing time, then that's still stealing, isn't it? So they expected you to work. I have read, and I couldn't find the quote where I had it at, but I'm sure I've read it somewhere, where back in the Roman days that Christian slaves sold for more than a regular slave. I've heard that. And that's because they wouldn't steal from you. You could count on them to work. they had your best interests at heart. I have read that, but I just could not find that quote or whatever was nowhere. And it does make sense. If you follow the principles that the Bible gives you with regard to being a worker, it will make you a better worker. And it will cause people to want to have you on their workforce. Okay? So that's how we're going to apply this. It uses the term servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. You say, well, I don't have a master. Last time I did this, I almost got in a quarrel with somebody over it. I'm not saying you're a slave. What I'm saying is you're a worker. And the principles that are given in this text applies to a worker and with regard to his boss or his employer. These same principles apply. So we want to be a good witness on our jobs to the people that we work for. It's a good testimony. All right, now let's begin at verse 22. Now that I laid the foundation, what I'm going to be doing. It says, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh. So the first principle he gives you as a Christian worker is you're to obey, which means you're to do what they tell you to do. Now, there's only one reason why you shouldn't do that. The only reason why you shouldn't do that would be if they'd asked you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. If they asked you to do something contrary to the Word of God, then it would apply. In Acts chapter 4, that's when the council told the apostles not to preach no more in His name. Remember what they said? We ought to obey God rather than men. This is how it applies. If they're asking you to do something that is sinful and wrong, then you wouldn't do it. I mean, you just have to say, listen, I can't do that. Now, I've had that happen to me before where they wanted me to do something. That's when I was a boss and not in the union, but I was a boss and they wanted me to do something. I said, listen, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I won't do that. I said, I've worked hard for you all for a lot of years and I did it with my hat in my hand. I wasn't a smart aleck about it. I just said, I just can't do that as a Christian. And I'm just not going to do it. And if you ask me to do it, then I'm going to have to leave. So what happened? They said, no, we don't want you to do that. And they let me stay. And I'm glad they did because I didn't want to start over again. But I had to make a stand. There are certain things that sometimes a boss might want you to do that if it's unethical and if it's sinful and it's not, if it goes against the scriptures, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. Then that's when you obey God rather than men. And that's Acts 4, verses 17 through 19. So you seek to obey them. You seek to do what they tell you to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. If they ask you to do something, then you do it. And you should do it without complaining. Sometimes they give us jobs. There's jobs that I've done that I didn't specifically like. I remember one job I did, and I shoveled coal. That's what I did. I shoveled coal all day long. When I come home, I just was totally black on my face and everything. And it was really something. That really fanned coal dust. I had to do that. I didn't like it real well, but I did it. And I was glad at the time to have the work. It didn't pay a whole lot of money. Shoveling coal didn't back then where I was at anyhow. But it helped keep the wolf away from the door, so to speak. It just provided me some work. So we do what they tell us to do, and we do it without complaining and murmuring. And that's a good testimony to an unsaved boss. Do y'all agree? It's a good testimony to an unsaved boss. They'll know you're different from the rest. They'll know that you're different from the rest. They really will. So there should be a difference between a Christian worker than an unsaved Christian. I've been an unsaved worker. There should be a difference between the two. We seek to do what they tell us. We seek to do, unless what? It's something unethical. Unless they ask you to do something that is sinful, you mind what they tell you to do. That's a good testimony to do that. It's bad sometimes, and I've had this happen to me before, when you get angry, and you get angry at a boss, and then you're in a big quarrel with them. Now, if you're a pastor, it looks even worse. If you're a pastor, it looks even worse. So we got to seek to, on our jobs, obey what they tell us to do. Do it in a good way. Realizing that on your job, who do you represent? On your job, who do you represent? Yeah, you're ambassadors for Christ here. You, everywhere you go, where you work at, or if you want to put it this way, where you go to school at, you represent your God there. And you want to represent Him well. And people will notice you're a Christian by the way that you act. And by what you, and the way that you talk. And the way that you don't talk. They'll be able to tell it. And you'll develop over time. It takes a while. You'll develop over time a good what? A good name, which is a good testimony. And what will happen after a while, if you're living it and you're obeying and you're doing what you're told to do and you don't stir up all kinds of strife and carrying on, and people will realize that you're different. People will realize that you're different. And they'll know that you're different because of Jesus. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? What is an ambassador? We got ambassadors in the United States, don't we? What does an ambassador do? They represent our nation to another nation. Where's our nation at? Well, our nation's above. Our kingdom is above. So while we're here, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 says. So we want to represent Him in a good, godly way. And we can do that on our job. We can do that. Number two, you got the first one. We are to obey our boss. Do what they say, when they say to do it, how they say to do it. Number two, we are to honor the position. We are to honor the position of that person that you are, of your employer. You're to honor the position that they give you. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me see if this is the right one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 6 and verse 1. Let as many servants... Everybody there, I'll give you 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we're to honor the position. We're to obey our bosses what they tell us to do, and we're to honor the position that they have. If they have a boss position, then we should seek to man what they tell us to do. 1 Timothy and verse 6, verse 1. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. Let as many servants that are under the yoke. What's it mean to be under a yoke? That's like a yoke of oxen. That's someone that's working for somebody. I've worked like an ox a time or two. Haven't you? We've worked like oxes before. Let as many servants that are under the yoke. You're under the yoke. That means you are working for someone. It says, count their masters worthy of all honor. So how do you treat your bosses? What does it say? With all honor. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. See, if you're out of control and a belligerent, then you're not representing your Lord well. See? Let me read it one more time to you. Let as many servants as are under the yoke, or working for someone, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Treat them with honor. What if they don't deserve honor? You treat them with honor anyhow. You respect the position. There's been some works as, how can I say, well, I just say, I've worked for some lousy bosses. And they weren't worthy of any honor. But I treated them with respect just for the fact of 1 Timothy 6 and 1. See what I'm saying? They didn't deserve it. I didn't think they did. They weren't very good bosses. But this says, it says what? Let as many servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor. Treat them with honor because of their position. And because you represent who again? You represent Jesus. You represent Jesus. That the name of God be not, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. See, it don't look good amongst the unsaved boys there either. They need to see that you're different. Y'all agree with me? They need to see that you're different. And how you work is different. And why you work is different. It needs to be that way. You take a Christian that works, and you know people like this that works on jobs that makes professions of faith. I don't know their heart, but they're late, they're lazy, they miss work, and they call and miss work and cause trouble. That's a bad testimony to an unsaved man that's a boss. They're not going to see any difference in you. So you need to act and conduct your... You can serve God by working. You serve God by your working. and you seek to serve Him in such a way so that people can see that you're different and see that you're a Christian worker. A Christian worker. And that's the best worker. You know what? At one time, still to tell you this, one time they hired people at our job. You know where they hired them out of? Here. Eddie worked there. Stewie worked there. Sarah, you remember all those Russell Stanley people that worked there? They hired many of people out of here. You know why it is? They worked. They showed up for work and worked. They could count on the people that come there and worked. I hate to say this, I was quite proud of that. They worked. Danny Buck there, he worked there. So they could count on them to show up. They could count on them to be there. They could count on them to work. So I was real grateful for that. So you honor, you obey your bosses and you honor the position. Even if it's not an honorable man, you still honor the position because you represent Jesus. Who knows? It can be a difference. It can make a difference in somebody. All right, let's go back to our text. Number one, we are to obey our bosses. Number two, we are to honor the position. Treat them with honor and respect. Hopefully the Lord will open you an opportunity to witness to them. Some bosses ain't real lovable. I've worked for some some pretty rough bosses over the years. It was very difficult at times to really put up with them. It really was very difficult. But you're trying to be a what to them? You're trying to be a witness. They need to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And sometimes a Christian worker can have a great influence on the job where he worked at. I was thinking about this today, and the Lord did indeed save a lot of people up the plant. Several people were saved up the plant. Brian's here this morning, Stewie, little Danny, he'd saved before. And there have been several people saved up there where there's Christian men at. So I was always thankful for that. We didn't witness while we were supposed to be working, but we would bring CDs and invite them to church and special events and try to get the gospel to them. Okay? Now, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3, and let's go ahead and move on through this. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. What does it mean, not with eye service? That means working just when they're looking. That's what eye service is. They work just when they're looking. How many times have you seen that on a job? Everybody quits working because the boss ain't around. Then when he comes around, everybody starts working. What's that called? Eye pleasers. Eye service is what it is. Eye service, men pleasers. See it? Eye service as men pleasers. You know the Bible covers everything, don't it? How many times have you seen it? One of the things that I used to say, Stu and the boys will remember this. I used to say this. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. And my boss is always watching. Because sometimes people say, what are you working for? That's silly. There ain't nobody here. I said, my boss is here. My boss is still watching me. I'm not working. I'm not working just for the purpose of fun or anything, but I want to set a good example for others. I'm working for the Lord. And when you do your job as if you're doing it for Jesus, that's a different way of working. That makes you work better. You do your labor as unto the Lord. Just like you're working. You are working for Him. Behind the scenes. That's why when I had a bad boss, I looked past him to the main boss. Well, I'm working for Jesus. This boss don't appreciate what I do, but this boss here does. And I wanted to represent him very well. Okay? Wanted to do that. So we're not to work with eye service as men pleasers. Our boss is always watching when you're saved. Our boss is always watching when you're saved. Okay. Now, I've done mention this fourth thing. Let me go ahead and I'm going to give you all these again. We are to obey our bosses because we represent the Lord, because the Bible commands us to. We're to mind Him. We're to do what they say unless what? They ask us to do something that's sinful. We don't mind that then. We mind the Lord then. Be wrong to disobey God. And then, just like they said in the book of Acts 4:17-19, we ought to obey God rather than men. We honored their position. They've been given a position of leadership, so we honor the position. Number three, we don't work just when they're watching. That's the idea of not with eye service as men pleasers. You can see why Christian slaves were more costly than others. This is how the churches trained their workers. This is how they treated the act. You witness by your work. Number four, we are ambassadors. I've already mentioned that. That means we represent Jesus where we're at. If you work at a plant somewhere, or you work at a carpenter place somewhere, or wherever you work, you represent Jesus there. I've had people say many a time, well, there ain't no saved people in this job. I'm the only saved guy here. I've said that before. I'm the only saved guy on this job. Why do you think you're there? Why do you think you're there? I'd like to have a bunch more. But why do you think you're there? I think He strategically places you in places where you can be a witness to other people. Brian Brightwell, the day they shut our plant down was a sad day, wasn't it, Stu? They just come in and shut our plant down. About 3 or 4 more years on. We just got a new contract. So we thought we had at least 3 years left on our contract. But they come in within a month of that, and they shut her down. They completely shut our plant down. And that was a dirty deal, I thought. Put us out, just told us to basically, you're done. Get out. And that's the way they did us. And that was a dirty deal. I tell you, that was a dirty deal. That was hard to take. But we took it. We just figured the Lord was still in charge of things. And if this happened, then the Lord had a what for it? Then He had a good purpose for it. We put it under Romans 8:28. Y'all believe in Romans 8:28? That would be true of that job too, wouldn't it? That's what we did. We put it right under there. And just trusted Him. Just trusted Him. Just tried to represent Him in a good way. Brian, I was going to tell you what Brian said. Brian said this on the day that they come in and shut our plant down. He said, Jeff, it blessed my heart so much. He said, Jeff, you know what I think? Because Brian got there when he was young, remember? He came to the plant when he was younger than we were. But he said, Jeff, you know what? I think the Lord brought me here to work so that you could tell me about Jesus. That's what he said. Now, you talk about taking a dark day and turning it into light. That did. But, we're standing in line. Here we are all gathered around waiting on the good news or something, you know, which was bad news. And when they fired, they let us go. They run us out, basically. Then that's what he said. I think the Lord brought us together just so you could tell me about Jesus. All God's people said. That's what he did. I like it. I thought that was a good deal. I'll never forget Brian for doing that. That's what he said that day. It kind of helped me a little bit, too, because I here I go, starting over again. Starting over again after 14 years. Let's go back to our text and move on. So, Lord's in charge. Lord's certainly in charge of things. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it how? Does it say do it halfway? What's it say? Do it heartily. Do it heartily. Used to be an old Dunkin' Donuts commercial. An old boy get up in the morning, he'd go, time to make the donuts like this right here. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that old commercial? That's not doing your work heartily. That's not putting your heart into your work. He said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Do your labor like you're doing it to the Lord. Well, they don't appreciate what I do. It don't make any difference whether they do or not. You do it like you're doing it for Jesus. You're serving the Lord that way. And then eventually someone's going to say, are you lost your mind? What do you work so hard for here? They don't appreciate what you do here. They don't think, one thing and the other. I represent Jesus here. He told me to work. My boss is always watching. My boss told me exactly what he wants me to do, and that's exactly what I want to do. All God's people said. That's why Christian slaves sold for more. They went by these principles. They looked above their boss to the big boss. I work for the big boss. And he tells me exactly what I'm supposed to do. Okay? Glorious, ain't it? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, verse 23, and not unto men. See it? You're serving the Lord that way. I did that for years. Tried to do well, all them dandy jobs I had. Shoveling coal and things of that nature. I shoveled her just as hard as I could be. I'd work and work and work and work, shoveling coal, $5.50 an hour. I made $5.50 an hour working an outage at John Amos Power Plant. Had two kids. Wasn't full time. $5.50 an hour is what I made. I shoveled coal all day long. When I come home, first day Debbie seen me when I come in, she went, "You look like a raccoon," she said. I had black all around my eyes. Working out in them coal fields over there, just shoveling coals. That's what my job was. I went from being like a plant manager to shoveling coal for $5.50 an hour. I did. Now, I had other jobs besides. I had three jobs at one time. I had three different jobs. I cleaned and shoveled coal. Had another one. I can't even remember what it was, but I had three of them. I made it. The Lord seen to it. I made it. I didn't sit around and wait for somebody to give me anything either. I just worked. I wanted to please the Lord, and the Lord provided me work. I never went without. I had plenty of money, and not plenty of money. I wasn't rich or anything, but I had money to pay my bills. I had food in the refrigerator, you know, and things. I had a house to live in still yet. The Lord provided. The Lord took care of me. The Lord took care of me. And He always has. I want you to hear me something else. He always will. People get to worry about all these finances. And I don't worry about it. My boss is always in charge. The ultimate person I work for is the Lord. And if this brook dries up over here, then He'll open up another one over there. Your provider never changes. Isn't that a glorious way to live? Isn't it a glorious way to live? Whatever, He's got it. My provider hasn't changed. I got the same provider today that I had when I was born, if you want to put it that way. I'm thankful. I don't worry about all of these things that people worry about. Don't worry about them. God's got it. He's my provider. He provides me work. He provides me things. All right, last of all, let me finish this. I didn't mean to go this long. I apologize. Not really. But let me go ahead and finish this. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the what? What ultimately are we going to get according to verse 24? What are we going to get? We're going to receive an inheritance. Where's that inheritance at? You're going to get a heavenly inheritance. The streets are made of gold there. That's your home. You're a rich man. You're a rich man and woman, because we got the inheritance. I'm going to die one of these days, but I'm going to go to my inheritance. I'm going to my inheritance one of these days. I'm going to inherit heaven one of these days. There ain't nobody that rich as those that are in heaven. Who are the richest people at? Well, it's out in California. No, the richest people's in heaven. You don't see anybody in heaven's poor. They're rich. And that's our own. We got an inheritance here. And you got to remind yourself of that. We get to looking around at what other everybody else has and what you don't have. You do that all the time, you're going to stay depressed. I don't look at those kinds of things. I look at my inheritance. I look at where I'm going and what I have in Christ Jesus, which is priceless. And I look at what all He's given us. Look what all He's given us. Look what all He's done for us. I mean, we live in houses. The poorest of us live in a home. We all got homes to live in. We got water, don't we? Hot and cold running water. You go overseas and see if you can find some of these things. You go over there and see if you can find some of those things. We got closets with clothes. I got more than one outfit to wear. I mean, He's blessed us so much. We just got to remember what all He's done and be thankful for it. Knowing that the Lord, of the Lord, you shall receive the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Jesus. Ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's say that together. Ye serve the Lord Christ. Who is that? Jesus. You're serving Jesus. Steve, when you're driving down the road, driving that truck, you're serving Jesus, sir. Think about it. You're out working on those cars, cleaning. You're serving Jesus there. See, that's how it views it. Ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So you serve. But he that doeth wrong. Now here you're going to close this section with a warning. He that doeth wrong. And that is not obeying these commands. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For there is no respect of persons. He that doeth wrong and doesn't mind and do what they're supposed to do on their job, they will receive for the reward they have done. I always thought it was horrible. I'm trying to think of an example. Yeah, I got one good example. We used to gather together at Hex and pray, me and a couple of the boys. And we run into some trouble there one time. You had labels, and when you pulled an order, you put the label on the order. And then they would judge how good of an order picker you was by how many labels you put out. And you was required by a quota to pull so many labels. We had some fellas in there, and man, they was the top label men. They pulled more stuff than anybody else. And at least one or two of them was in our prayer group. We'd get together and pray. You know what they're doing, Dean? They're taking them labels and throwing them away. They weren't pulling the orders. They'd pull a few things, throw a few labels on there, and the stores wouldn't get the merchandise to make their label count what? High. And we caught them in it. They was stuffing them down into something. And then we started looking at them. The dates was off. And that should have been on a piece of merchandise, not on a cart. Well, they got to looking at everybody's worksheet, and there about five or six of them got fired over that. Yeah. Yeah, that's stealing, isn't it? Lying and stealing. And guess what? That boy didn't come to prayer meeting that evening either. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. God's people make mistakes, and I'm sure that I don't know the position of their heart. People do silly things. Christian people do silly things sometimes. Y'all agree? But still yet, the consequences were still there. They lost their jobs over it. Trying to pretend to do more when they didn't do anything. Just a horrible testimony. I wouldn't want to have that kind of testimony with you. All right, we'll go ahead and stop with that. I think that's enough. Christian workers was the title of it. I could have talked a whole lot more on that, but I didn't want to be that windy anyhow. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for coming tonight. That's all.